Well, if you got your Bibles with you, get ready. We're going for a ride this morning. I don't normally do this, but this month, it's January, and I'm going to be preaching stewardship. Normally, I like to preach from one text and take what the Lord is saying there, expound upon that. Today, and probably for a good part of this month, I'm going to be preaching topically, which I generally try to stay away from. But I'm also going to be just bringing to you a bunch of texts. Now, I need for you to be very careful in this. You need to be making sure that I'm not using these texts inappropriately. Okay? Pay attention. Make sure that I'm using them correctly. Because if I'm using them wrong, that's me being wrong. And if I'm not right, then what I say can be ignored. But if what I'm bringing forward is God's truth, then you need to listen and you need to pay attention. Again, we're going to be doing 5 parts on stewardship. Stewardship is not just about what's in your wallet and what goes in the plate or the offering box or whatever. There's so much more. And today we're going to start by looking at God's ownership. And we're going to look at that. But before we start, let's pray. Father God, we come before you and we seek your Holy Spirit. Lord, we seek the leading of your word. We seek the presence of your Son. Lord, we seek you, the Father of all, the Lord of creation. And Lord, we want to follow you. And we want to discern your will rightly. So Lord, we ask that you would speak to us, guide us and direct us. I pray for your anointing to be upon me this morning, that as I preach, I might speak forth your word in truth and in power. And your people here might be encouraged and blessed. And Lord, maybe challenged. I ask, Lord, that your name would be lifted up and glorified. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to be going to a bunch of different scripture passages this morning. To help you, though, we're going to start in Genesis 1:1, and we're going to work our way through to Revelation. Now, we're not doing everything in between, but I just kind of want to give you a sense of the scope of I have scratched the surface of the passages which speak of God being the creator, which speak of God being the owner of all. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Interesting passage. Doesn't say Kevin created, doesn't say Donna created. She's very creative, my wife is, but guess what? She didn't create the heavens and the earth. I'm not creative. I like to steal things from other people and borrow their best ideas. But God created the heavens and the earth. Kind of all-inclusive. Kind of like one of those hotel packages where you don't have to pay for anything else. He created the heavens and the earth. Everything kind of falls within those categories. Now I ask you a question. If I make it, is it mine? What did God make? Oh, just the heavens and the earth. chapter 1, verse 31, the last verse of the first chapter. God saw all that he had made, and it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. He created it, and it was good. Genesis 2:15. Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. Now, if I can take something and I can tell it what to do, usually that means it's mine. Or at least I'm in a charge and have authority. God made creation, and then he took man and he said, you, go over here and work it. Take care of it. Kind of lays out right here at the beginning the power structure, doesn't it? We don't have anything here that says that God asked man what he would like to do. There wasn't a meeting to determine what man's will was. God said, you, you're in charge of the garden. It's your job. He placed Adam over the garden. Now, I know Adam is in my bloodline because he made mistakes like I do. And, it's a man who made some mistakes. And through those mistakes, we end up in Genesis chapter 3, verse 23. And after Adam had made the mistakes, God said, so the Lord banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. Okay, now the Garden of Eden was the cushy job. Okay? To use an illustration from my son, Jason, he will appreciate this. I'm actually going to use him as an illustration one time when he's here. When Jason was in the army, his first posting was in Germany, the 214. 214 is a dream job for somebody who's in the army, particularly somebody with his MOS, or military occupational specialty, that of fixing helicopters, because his job was to maintain the helicopter for the U.S. Army Europe general, commanding general. That's a four-star general. We've got like seven or eight of them, depending upon who's retired and who's been promoted, but they keep about that level. In all the world, in the U.S. Army, there's less than 10 of these guys. And they're definitely the upper echelon of the Army. This guy's in charge of all the Army forces, U.S. Army forces, in Europe. When the Vice President would come over, or the Secretary of Defense would come over, they flew in the helicopter that Jason maintained. They had a small squadron, like six or eight birds, but there was one which was the special one. Now, you know what Jason's budget was? Budget? What's a budget? We need a part. We ask for the part. Not a problem. It was easy work. They had nice barracks. He had good officers. You know, it was a nice country. Still, he didn't think it was perfect, so he didn't ask to stay, so they shipped him off to the 82nd Airborne. He then decided that he really liked it much better back at 214. But it was too late. Well, Jason didn't get sent off because he'd done something wrong, other than not try to stay there. But Adam and Eve got to leave the Garden of Eden because they messed up. They didn't know how good they had it. When they left the garden, instead of everything just kind of the ripe fruit just falling from the trees and just being walk out and pick it, and you know, caring for the garden consisted of walking by and saying, oh, hello, tree. Hello, lion. Hello, rabbit. Aren't we all having a good day? You know, it came out to going out into the world and by the sweat of his brow, his back, and every part of pore of his being, he had to work the ground in order to make enough to feed him and his family. Instead of the food just falling into his hands, now he had to work. It wasn't easy. Well, God is the one who's able to send him there. So what's the power structure? When the army sent Jason from the 214th to the 82nd, once they made up their mind, you know how much input he had on that? Zero. He can go or he can be in trouble. Well, you know how much input Adam and Eve had in the decision of where they're going to go and be? They had less than zero. Because Jason had the option where he could have not gone and been in trouble. This wasn't even in the cards for Adam and Eve. What did they? God took them, picked them up. Here you go. Boom. Big angel, big sword. Poof. Don't come back. We can see who's in charge, who owns it, by who's able to do and assign various tasks. God can do this. He can assign these things. We see that God is the one who created it. This is showing us that God owns it. He's has the right of ownership. He also has the right of authority. Let's move on. Revelation 25. See, we're out of Genesis. You were wondering if that was going to happen, weren't you? Revelation chapter 25. Then you go to the 23rd verse. What verse? What chapter? What book did I tell you? No, 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 no. You need to look at what I'm looking at. I'm looking at LEV, which means Leviticus. Leviticus 25. I'm going to end at Revelation. I don't know why I said that. Ignore that part and go to Leviticus 25. I'm pretty sure you can find that. Leviticus 25, verse 23. This is God speaking. He says, "The land must not be sold permanently, because the land is mine, and you are aliens and my tenants." You're aliens and you're my tenant. Where you live is not your home. Not only do you not own it, you're a renter, but you're an alien. Now, we have a few people here who understand the concept of being an alien. Not because you're from another planet, but because you've lived someplace where that's not your country, your home, where you're not a citizen. We have a couple people that have done that. And he's saying, that's not your home. You're there. It's not yours. If you're an alien, you know it's not your place. You have that sense. If you're a tenant, you can't even paint the walls without getting permission. Or if you do, boy, you're going to get in trouble. They come do an inspection. You're a tenant. You can't do what you want to do with property. Here it is. God is saying, you can't sell the land. It's not yours because the land is mine. He's not saying it's somebody else's or you might one day say, this is my land. And you're just aliens and tenants. Whoa! It's God's? Why am I paying the mortgage company? You know, I don't even own my house. You know, I pay money to the mortgage company. So I thought it would be my land, my house, but no, it's not. It's not even the cities or the states. This is telling us it's actually God's. My house is God's. This house is God's. He owns it all. Moving on. First Chronicles, chapter 29, verse 14. It said, "But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand." Now, here we are. This is David's prayer, or David is speaking to God. And then he's talking to people. You know, he's saying, "Who am I and who are my people?" Because he's talking about people of Israel whom he was king over. "That we should be able to give so generously as this. Everything comes from you, and we have given you only that, only what comes from your hand." So all we have comes from the hand of God. Everything. Again, I'm going to move through these a little faster now. Psalm 24, verse 1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." Okay, the earth is the Lord's, and everything that's in it. The world and all who live in it. Who is not included? What is not included within that? There isn't anything excluded. There isn't anyone excluded. Even if I was to stand and say, "I don't accept you," so that's okay. You don't have to accept me, but you're still mine. It's just like the cow in the field can stand there and say, "Farmer, you don't own me." And the farmer says, "Well, that's fine. You can say that, but, you know, I'm still going to fatten you up and take you to market." Psalm 50, verses 10, 11, and 12. It says, "For every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle out of 1,000 hills. I know every bird in the mountains, and the creatures of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all that is in it." In other words, God is saying, if I had a need, I wouldn't come to you for it, because you're not the one who supplies my needs. I'm the one that supplies your needs. Oh, well, isn't it important that I give? Not to God. It doesn't help God one bit. God doesn't need our stuff. We need God's stuff. Because all the stuff there is His. Okay. We're going to finish up here pretty quick. We're in Gospel of John now, see? Move way forward. Jump way forward. Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 3. It says, "Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing has been made that has been made." Okay. "Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made." If it's there, God made it. Jesus made it. Chapter 1, verse 10 says, "He was in the world, and though the world was made through Him, the world didn't recognize Him." just time and again through Scripture, as I said, I have not scratched the surface of how the Bible lays out how all of creation is God's, and how He is the one who is in supreme authority, how He is the one who gives to us, and it's we who need God. Okay, last passage we're going to look at is Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. Bill Cosby, some of you young people might not know who he is. He's a guy that was a comedian. Anyhow, one of the lines that he would use, talking about, I brought you into this world, I'll take you out. Well, guess what? God is the one who actually brought us into this world. And He is the one that takes us out. You see, He is the one who is in control. Through all the difficulties and things that we had going on this morning, God's in control. He can use even that for His glory. The enemy can come against him. He's going to lose every time. God isn't just mighty, He's almighty. He isn't just almighty, He is the almighty. God created all that has breath. Created all that is on the world. Everything that exists is His. That is where we have to start from when we begin to think about stewardship. Whose is it? That's not mine. That's not mine. That's not mine. Car key? That's not mine. Hey, none of it mine. None of it. I'm not going to take off the stuff rest of it I got on just for your... It's not mine, though. It's all God's. This is not mine. It's God's. He created, and He is an authority over it. And He can do with it as He wills. And this is where we need to start from when we begin to think about stewardship. Everything we have comes from His hand. Everything we are is because He gave it to us and because He created us. Our point of origin in the journey on stewardship is it's all His. And He has every right and authority over it. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You that You bless us with the privilege of being Your children and living in Your house, eating Your food, and just being able to walk Your creation and participate in the beauty that You've given us, and even to be active in the work that You have created for our hands. Lord, we thank You for each and every part of it. And now, Lord, we come before you and we ask that you would just show us how you would have us to use that which you've put into our hands. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. That'll be part two. Next week, we will talk about stewardship and how it is God's and what it is we're supposed to do with what he puts in our hands. Let's close by singing, I Thank You, Lord.